When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is a big time, game time decisions right here on Sports Grid. And I'm your host, Kevin Walsh. It is Monday night, which means we have Monday Night Football twice. A doubleheader provided to us. We've got the Miami Dolphins and the Tennessee Titans on one side, the Green Bay Packers and the New York Giants on the other. We pair that with a ton of NBA action to go through. We'll have Coach James Young help us with that. We've got some big news around the NBA and Major League Baseball to get to. And of course, we have to look back to what was the most important Sunday slate in the National Football League so far. Let's start it off here. Where does everything look with Monday Night Football here providing this doubleheader? Miami, a 13.5, 14-point favorite. Number depends where you look. 45.5. The over-under for this game. One of the major talking points heading into this matchup here is all Dolphins, the one seed, the potential to become AFC favorites, and the potential for Tyreek Hill to truly, truly enter the MVP race. His props tonight, 7.5 receptions, about 108.5 receiving yards, and the highest priced anytime touchdown score on the board. Giants Packers, different story. The G-men with Tommy DeVito might be sweeping at least the East Coast, but a 5.5-point home underdog to a hot Green Bay team with Jordan Love, a pack squad that's playing very well, but will be playing without still two of their best players. Christian Watson re-injuring a hamstring in the Pack win against the Kansas City Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. And then you still deal with the absence of Aaron Jones. The expectation is A.J. Dillon can step up. Let's get our radio audience into the fold. Excited for all those here throughout the Sports Grid Network, including SiriusXM Channel 159. I'm your host, Kevin Walsh, on Game Time Decisions. Let's go from Monday night backwards. Sunday action changing the markets in a big-time way. Dallas dominates Philly, 33-13. Dak Prescott, a clean performance, two passing touchdowns, no turnovers. Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles managed to not punt a single time and not score an offensive touchdown. Three fumbles, two in the red zone, all in Dallas territory, one by Hurts, one by A.J. Brown, and one by Devonta Smith. This year, moving the odds for the Super Bowl, Dallas moving up a bit, Philly really coming back. Eagles hold firm as NFC East favorites. MVP movement we'll get to in a moment. Take a look at Chiefs-Bills, the second biggest game on this slate, and Buffalo more than salvages their season. The Bills now feel like one of the scariest teams in the conference. A road win at Arrowhead, 20-17. Josh Allen hardly spectacular. And the fact that that's true and this was still a Buffalo victory is a great sign for the Bills and an even more worrisome sign for the Chiefs. Look, everybody is talking about the Kadarius Toney offsides call. Was he offsides? Yes. Is Mahomes handling this horribly? The worst you could have possibly imagined. And the latter is more important than the former. The Chiefs losing a football game, while it's disappointing, you typically would say, hey, don't worry. They're fine. Maybe okay here in front of the camera or you watching at home would panic about the Chiefs, but in that locker room, there would be none. There is. It's evident by their reaction to that play. The Chiefs now on a losing streak. The Chiefs looking vulnerable. And the Chiefs now being booked as the third team in the AFC. The markets are moving. And one thing that felt true with the loss to Green Bay, but more true than ever, Mahomes and the MVP race are not going hand in hand. The new favorite, standalone style, Dak Prescott. Dak gets a big win against Philly, which provided a big bump. The advantage that Dak has over Brock Purdy right now is there are more people that believe Dak Prescott is an elite quarterback than Brock Purdy. And that's really it. Statistically, Brock still has the edge, and he sits at plus 200. Drop down here, though, is major. Two is at 8-1. We'll talk about his wide receiver at Tyreek Hill. You've got a Hurts price that comes back. Jalen has no more big games unless he goes wild on a Monday nighter in Seattle. At least it's prime time. Hurts has to have a major one. Lamar, the Ravens are the favorites to be the one seed in the AFC. They're going to host Miami a little bit later. His raw numbers, though, it's going to be really tough to get him in the conversation. Again, we're going to focus in on Tyreek Hill in just a little bit. Let's back out of this here. We'll flash the Super Bowl odds up before we get over to tonight's slate for the NBA. The Niners plus 260, it's what you'd expect. Look, the conversation around the Niners is now not just them being the best team in the league. We're hearing some all-time stuff from San Francisco. A little of that is probably tough to get to because their record is the same as a number of teams in this league, the Eagles, the Cowboys, you think about the Miami Dolphins and the Baltimore Ravens. These are all three-loss teams here, but San Francisco's advanced metrics, the efficiency for them has been absolutely brilliant. They hung it on the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. Again, Ravens and Dolphins get on the move due to the loss for the Kansas City Chiefs. The Eagles holding in front of Dallas, it should be much stronger. The Philadelphia Eagles are minus 300 or better anywhere you look to win the NFC East despite that loss, and that is key. It is more likely the Eagles will be the one seed than the Cowboys will beat the Eagles out for the division. Stuff to keep in mind. By the way, Browns beat Jacksonville. Jags get major help. Colts and Texans both upset outright in their football games. Their Lions did take a loss, by the way, at the hand of the Chicago Bears. We don't have enough time today to get into it, but Coach of the Year market, the Dan Campbell candidacy is what? Good speeches? It makes no sense. The Lions are the fourth best team in the NFC. They were booked as a division favorite, and they're supposed to win that division. Can't get there. Don't see it. Let's push forward. NBA slate packed. 13 games available. One of the key things to watch for, how do the Vegas teams respond? We got a bunch of them playing. Indy goes to Detroit. You've got Milwaukee hosting the Chicago Bulls, and the Pelicans are playing against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Bucks are laying double digits. The Pacers about 7 or 8 on the road, and then New Orleans a home favorite against the Timberwolves. We'll talk more about that game in a moment. Let's get the Major League Baseball World Series odds up. Huge news. Shohei Ohtani is a Los Angeles Dodger. The rich get richer. If the Dodgers willingly spend after giving Ohtani this deal, then good for them. If they're now going to be, and I know this sounds a little silly, but more tight-walleted after this decision, then that's going to become a bad contract. I understand the idea is Ohtani is an ace and a hitter. He literally can't pitch this upcoming season. He can't. We'll see how it all performs. Blue Jays take a tough blow. They really thought they had Ohtani. Let's put a quick pick on the board. Zion Williamson, the last time I saw you on a Thursday here, was my best bet over his points against the Lakers. Zion, along with everybody in New Orleans, no-showed that game. The bounce-back spot from that game applies here more than ever. Zion needs to step up. Full card is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here. It's Game Time Decisions on a Monday night. I'm your host, Kevin Walsh. We will go through the card, but I have to start with a futures bet that I'm making before tonight's game. And it is Tyreek Hill to win the NFL MVP award at 13-1. FanDuel has a 10-1. DraftKings has the 13. I believe you could still find a 14 if you shop at BetRivers. So it is very important that I make it known that I have a bet on Tyreek Hill, Offensive Player of the Year from much earlier in the season, and a Brock Purdy 50-1 MVP ticket. I am not sure I am making this Tyreek bet without both of those things being true. I want to always give you guys action that you can make. Maybe you have both of those, maybe you have one of those, maybe you have none. But those two facts are an important part of me betting Tyreek to win league MVP at 13-1. If Tyreek wins NFL MVP, just firstly on this, that is the only way I think he does not win Offensive Player of the Year. Had a conversation with someone earlier today, talked it out. I do think if Tyreek wins league MVP, he is winning Offensive Player of the Year still. You can win both. It's just typically now that the MVP has been so quarterback driven, they've decided to reward skill players in the Offensive Player of the Year market. And the Tyreek Hill 2,000 yard season is a matter of when, not if. Tyreek Hill is plus 220 to not break the record. This is a market that is now available of Calvin Johnson's single season mark of a little bit more than 1,900 yards. And again, that is a mark that is not far off of 2,000. Tyreek's getting the 2K. That's a big part of this. Also, when I look at the other MVP contenders, again, Jalen needs a monster game against Seattle, I think, to stay truly relevant in this conversation. Lamar might need to win out at Jacksonville and the Niners, still on his schedule. That's a lot to deal with, plus more AFC North battles. We always know those are tricky. Tyreek and his own quarterback is a head-to-head that Tyreek is winning in the conversation. The market right now has Tua in front of him. I've not heard anybody mention Tua's name in the MVP race since October, since they lost probably to the Kansas City Chiefs in Germany. I think that's the last time we really heard Tua and the MVP award mentioned. That's it. Mahomes is done. Josh Allen would need to win out and probably give you about 300 yards and three touchdowns per game to really get back into this race. It feels like we are at Dak, Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts, and Tyreek Hill. Dak is at Buffalo next week. That's a tough spot. That's a vulnerable spot. Brock Purdy's at Arizona. He is in a very good position and should probably still be booked in front of Prescott, quite honestly. But what Tyreek has is the two most comfortable weeks of football. Tonight, prime time against Tennessee, where his expectations are about 7 for 100 and a score. If he goes through expectations tonight, it's going to be about 10 for 130 and two. Tyreek's number's getting on the move tonight, unless the Dolphins are upset, and I don't think they are losing this football game. Tyreek follows up this game with a game next week against the Jets. And Tyreek just abused the Jets for 9 catches, 102 yards, and a touchdown. He will abuse the Jets again because the game is in South Beach, and he's been unstoppable in Miami this season. He's been pretty much unstoppable everywhere, but specifically in at home, it has been otherworldly what Tyreek Hill has done. I think Tyreek Hill is very deserving of the MVP award. I don't know if they are going to be willing to give it to a wide receiver. That's why me holding a piece of Brock Purdy gives me extra confidence to make this bet. at 13-1. Let's get into the props. I am on the Titans plus the 14. You might think that that's some double talking. To me, it is not. Vrabel plus the points is something that I talk about very consistently, and it is something that I am going to trust here. Mike Vrabel, 25-15-1 against the number when he's catching at least 3 points in his NFL career. Brilliant when he's catching at least 6 points as well. While I understand that the Dolphins can be a bit of a wagon, fading a team that just beat someone by 30 has typically been strong. Tennessee, a close loss to the Indianapolis Colts. If not for that, they'd be riding in on a nice little two-game win streak here. I think Will Levis is getting a little bit more comfortable. I'm going to take the 14 points that I'm getting with the Tennessee Titans. Props-wise in this game, it is Raheem Mostert over 10 and a half rush attempts. I've been waiting all day for this number, and they popped it. One of the best selling points I can give you is that Devon Achane's prop is at 11 and a half, and that is misguided. Last game against Washington, Achane had 17 carries. Well out carried Raheem Mostert, and that is incredibly misleading. Mostert had 11 carries, but he had 9 of them in the first half to just 3 for Devon Achane. The Dolphins got up by a billion and allowed Raheem Mostert to rest. Fantastic. And Mostert can get this on a double back workload with Devon Achane in the mix because he did it last week by bringing in 11 carries. If you take a look at what backfields have put up against Tennessee these past few weeks here, it's been otherworldly. Zach Moss had 19. How about a Panthers running back split? In the game they lost, 14 Chuba Hubbard, 15 Miles Sanders. Travis Etienne had 14. Tank Bigsby and Dearness Johnson combined for 16. That's 30 running back carries. Rashad White, 20. Najee Harris and Jalen Warren, both over 11 rush attempts here. And that trend has been continuing since basically the first month of the season ended in the NFL. The Titans have become more vulnerable against the run, and Raheem Mostert is set to pop off here tonight in this matchup, workload-wise, relative to expectation. In Packers Giants, I was tempted to lay the number with Green Bay, but I do hold some Packers futures. This is a necessary game for Green Bay to make sure they get into the postseason here. I didn't think I needed to jump on top of it and lay the number. I am going to play A.J. Dillon over 80 and a half rushing plus receiving. The Jets have continued to be very, very bad against running backs. We know that. Excuse me, the Jets. The Giants have been very bad against running backs. And if you look, Ramondre Stevenson blasts through this number. Washington's Brian Robinson Jr. did this in the R&R category with the receiving workload really helping. We saw against Vegas, Josh Jacobs pounded against the ground. Breece Hall had 70 receiving yards, which really helped get through this number. And for A.J. Dillon, he's hit this in 3 out of 4, with the key to this now being his receiving workload has become more reliable with the Aaron Jones absence there. It's not a free ad, right, to jump this up now to 80 and a half, but it's a worthwhile ad here for A.J. Dillon. Maybe he does this all on the ground. My favorite bet in this game, it's going to be Saquon Barkley over his rushing yards. Bet him for 70+. I'm going to play alts as well. I was tempted by the longest rush prop for Saquon, but admittedly, the books did a nice job moving that number. Last look, 16 and a half, minus 140. I think Saquon can pop a 25-plus yard run tonight, and that's going to help me get there. Pacheco abused this team. Gibbs plus Montgomery ran all over him. Austin Eckler finished with 67, but only on 10 carries. You're going to see a much bigger workload for Saquon Barkley. Najee Harris and Jalen Warren both had 70-plus rushing yards in their game against this Green Bay Packers run defense that has looked very, very vulnerable here. Saquon Barkley pops at least one big one tonight, and that helps him get to 70-plus. And again, don't be scared to pair it with some alts. NBA tonight, I'm playing Pistons Pacers over 247. All of these Pacers road games are just so ridiculously high scoring. I like that the Pacers are coming off of being shut down by the Lakers defense there. So I'm going to trust that that goes over. These teams played recently, and it was a 245 and a half listed total for a home Pacers game. You should bump it up more than a point and a half 3 weeks later, knowing this is a road game. Jokic bounced back triple-double, only 5 assists last night. Zion Williamson over 20 and a half points. I am going to trust Zion tonight. If he is paying attention to this chatter, and he still is a top 15 potential guy in this league, he steps up against the Timberwolves. We're going to continue to break down a big-time board here on Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here, it's Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid. I'm your host, Kevin Wallace, and we're joined now, as always, on a Monday by Matt and Mathis. I cannot believe we've been doing this all year, and it just hit me that it's Mondays with Madden and Mathis. That's an awful job. That is an awful job out of me for just realizing that. But we have two games to get to, so I cannot waste too much time. I want to start with the AFC battle between Tennessee and Miami. The Dolphins, depends where you look, they're going to be laying 13.5, 14 points in this game. Joe, I'll go to you first. Are you going to bet the side in this matchup?
Yeah, I absolutely am. I'm looking at the Titans here, plus the points. I've got to take them plus the 13.5. I just think this is too many. We know the Dolphins are the phenomenally stronger team. They have the better quarterback, but Mike Vrabel is a hard coach to bet against. And now, as an underdog, he's been phenomenally strong. We look at him as an underdog of 10 or more points, though. He's only 2-3 against that spread, only been an underdog in this position 5 times. But you look at the storyline here. This is his 100th game coaching the Titans, including playoffs. I think he gets it done today. Going to take him plus the 13.5.
Yeah, I am betting the Titans as well on the spot here. It's just, it's a lot of points, I think. I understand Miami's offense can run and hide. It's what they did against Washington. I think it's hard to do that consistently. Taylor, talk to me. What are your favorite props in this game?
I'm fading one of the big stars, Jaylen Waddle, under 5.5 receptions. This line is inflated because the public likes to back Miami in blowout spots this season. Therefore, we see the player prop lines also rise. The Dolphins have plenty of offensive weapons to beat up on the Titans. To the casual football fan, Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle are viewed as the 1-2 punch for the Dolphins. Waddle's been very inconsistent this season in actuality. 2 games for over 100 yards. Beyond that, he's grazing around the 60 yards a game mark on 5 receptions. Not every Dolphins player is going to have a giant game tonight, despite the huge spread. Fading Waddle under 5.5 receptions tonight.
I think it certainly, you know, it makes sense as well, just wondering how this workload is going to look now over the final few weeks here. I understand for the Dolphins, priority one is to win games, but everybody knows they got to focus in on getting Tyreek Hill, his 2,000 yards, and I think they will. I noticed a touchdown score up there, Taylor, for you, which I think Joe's going to be on as well. I'm going to let you go first here, though, Taylor, with the DeAndre Hopkins look. Talk to me where the value is.
Oh, I'm on Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry for an anytime touchdown tonight. That's right. Where I'm going for my anytime touchdown play. I'm hoping maybe I sent over DeAndre Hopkins when I was typing. I meant to put
Hopkins at minimum.
Derrick Henry anytime touchdown. I feel like when everybody is counting Henry out, the man still always is coming back for more. Henry has 4 trips to the end zone in his last 2 games. That's more combined than he had the entire rest of the season prior. Henry has 8 of Tennessee's 10 rushing touchdowns this season. They like to give the ball to Henry on early downs in the red zone, over-trusting rookie quarterback Will Levis to get it into the house on a possible third down situation. Henry also has the rest advantage over the Dolphins' defensive line. I've got to take a chance on the king and plus money to score in primetime. Derrick Henry, anytime touchdown.
So that's the Derrick Henry side of this covered. Joe, talk to us about the Hopkins side of the touchdown market.
Yeah, you got to look at Hopkins here. And I know the Titans would really prefer to run the ball in this game, but I don't think running the ball is going to find them success in this. They're going to have to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. And we look here at the Dolphins going against number one wide receivers. They have allowed in the last 4 games those number one wide receivers to get in the end zone. So I'm expecting him here to be able to do so as well. He's got 5 touchdowns on the season, looking for that number 6 and at plus 220. I can't say no to DeAndre Hopkins in this situation.
I almost, Joe, went to a defensive prop like you and bet Jalen Ramsey. I was trying. I didn't know if I could find him for an interception. Maybe bet him for tackles. I know Ramsey doesn't really follow people anymore, but I just feel like him and Hopkins have played against one another for so long that maybe for old time's sake, he would still follow him. To finish out this game, Joe, the Miami side of it, a touchdown score for you?
Yeah, I'm looking at Tyreek Hill here for the Miami Dolphins. We know how phenomenally strong he has been. Trying to find value on him is key, though, tonight in this situation. I'm looking at Tyreek Hill to get a touchdown in the first half of this game. When we look at him over the last, you know, handful of games, the only game he didn't get a touchdown in that first half was versus KC, where he was held off the board. But looking at his last game versus Washington, he had the first touchdown of that game. He actually got two touchdowns in that first half versus the Jets. That touchdown came in the second quarter versus the Raiders in the second quarter. And the one prior to the game versus KC was versus the Patriots, and that came in the first quarter. So that anytime touchdown in the first half coming in at plus 115, Kevin.
And what I'll say about those bets is, if you look, you know, Tyreek right now, let's call it minus 175. If by chance, and I hope this hits right away, Joe, but if it doesn't, and you get to halftime, you're going to get Tyreek Hill at plus money for the second half to score a touchdown. If you want to come back in, I think it does make a lot of sense. It saves on some of that juice. Let's get to game number two here, Green Bay and New York. The Giants are home dog. The Packers playing really, really good football now, Taylor. Are you on a side in this game?
I am, and we're in the holiday spirit right now. We're getting close to Christmas. I feel like Green Bay, they're the perfect comparison to that shiny new toy that's just going to be wrapped under the Christmas tree. I'm laying the 6 points with them. They're 6-6. They have newfound playoff hopes, and head coach Matt LaFleur is the opposite of cold in the month of December. He's 16-0 straight up, covering in primetime over 60% of the time. Green Bay has a newfound confidence. They're doing a solid job of keeping quarterback Jordan Love safe in the pocket. When Love has protection, he's completing over 70% of passes. The Giants blitz 40% of the time. The Packers pass rush, I think, beats them more often than not tonight, even when the Giants are sending an extra defender over. I have to back the hot hand and fade the inevitable. The New York Giants, they score at the second lowest rate in football. They're a bottom 10 defense. They have a rookie quarterback in Tommy DeVito. I can't get behind them. And the fact that the Giants will keep this game within six is just too crazy to me. Give me the Packers on the spread.
Yeah, I think as much as I think right now DeVito has the best celebration, maybe in sports, I worry about the Giants crossing the finish line. And Joe, maybe your trust in the Giants is limited. Talk to me on that.
Yeah, I have limited trust in the Giants here. I'm looking at them in the first half, grabbing the 3.5. Now, this is a team off a bye. They're scrappy at home, and I hear what you're saying about Tommy DeVito. It's hard to trust him coming out here, but I do think this Giants team can find success running the ball in this game. We know both of these teams are vulnerable against the run, and I do think with a lower scoring game here, it looks like a lot of points for the full game, but like Taylor said, really hard to back the Giants here for the full game with what we've seen out of this team this season. It's just not somewhere I'm really confident in putting my money. I do think, though, in that first half off the bye, we should see them have success coming out in this one. I also love that their giant nose tackle here, Dexter Lawrence, is back in this game. I think he's going to find success. I think he will be able to shut down the Packers' run game a little bit in this one. So give me the Giants plus the 3.5 in the first half and hold your breath, because it's not pretty.
Maybe Saquon breaks like a 75-yarder first play, cover the first half, and then we start to pull some of that back there, get the Packers to cover the 6. Taylor, where else are you looking to bet in this game?
Well, I love the Packers so much tonight that I'm taking them in another spot. I'm going to take them to cover the first quarter spread of just a half.
We got a lot going on.
Right,
okay.
Plus money. Green Bay is getting out to early leads recently, playing a quicker, more aggressive style of play. Through their last three games, the Packers have scored 27 points in the first quarter and dominated the quarter outright in two of three of those. The offense will need to come out and jump on an early lead, and Green Bay's defense is just not getting enough love right now for how they are protecting these leads. Linebacker Quay Walker gives the Packers force in the middle of the field. He's the leader on the team in total tackles. Linebacker Rashawn Gray is firing on all cylinders off the edge as a run defender, while also having the ability to sack the quarterback. He has 9 total on the season. These two players set the tone for this Green Bay defense and shouldn't have trouble keeping DeVito and the Giants off of the board, especially at the start of the game. Packers first quarter spread, just minus a half point.
We're going to try and thread a lot of needles here because I always want you both to hit every single possible play. With only a minute left, let's try and go quickly here. Joe, the remaining props you're on for Packers-Giants.
Yeah, give me the both running backs on both sides. Saquon Barkley here, over 69.5 rushing yards in this one. I do think he's going to find success. And then give me the Packers running back, A.J. Dillon here, over 62.5 rushing yards. He's both of these teams struggle defensively against the run. So looking at those running backs to find success tonight is my number one in those props.
Strong agree on both guys tonight here. Taylor, the rest of the props for you in this game?
I'm going to go with rookie receiver on the Packers, Jaden Reed, over 4.5 receptions. He's been the last three games right at that 4 mark. Tonight, Christian Watson is going to be sidelined with injury. This could be a chance for Reed to get over that mark in plus money. I also love a play on Saquon Barkley, but I'm going to go his under 3.5 receptions. This hasn't been something that he's hit the over on very often this season. The unders hit over 70% of the time. I've got to fade Barkley in a certain way because I do like what Joe's saying, that I think the Giants and Barkley will lean on the run more than him involved as a pass catcher.
Double-digit plays. What more could you ask for? Coach, up next, talking hoops.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on Sports Grid, I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Coach James Young on Game Time Decisions. And in the break, we had some GOAT talk going on, trying to figure out the women's college game, which is a fun conversation. But it did remind me of something. I don't want to skip past the opportunity to give Coach credit. And if that just so happens to mean I need to bring up LeBron James winning the in-season tournament MVP, then... well, I got to do what I got to do. JY, a great call by you that the Lakers would win the in-season tournament, the NBA, and their first year of this, a massive, massive, unquestioned success. And the best outcome possible was a legacy player winning MVP. With respect to Halliburton, with respect to Brandon Ingram, hell, with respect to Giannis, the best case scenario was that MVP award went to a certified all-time great, like a Durant, like a Steph. They got even better. It went to the greatest player of all time in LeBron James.
Wait, what happened? What was that?
I gave you credit now, JY, talking to me about the Lakers. Go ahead. Now, go ahead. Not much time for anything else. Go ahead.
Listen, Kevin first should get the flowers because Kevin was the first guy I knew who was all in on an in-season tournament. But Kevin's right. The reason why I picked the Lakers is because of LeBron being a historian and his legacy. This meant more to him than any other player because he could go out and say, I did it, and I did it first. I did it in Las Vegas where I won a own a team and a franchise, and they had 15,000 Laker fans in the building. It was the only thing that could have made it better for the NBA sake, K-Dub, as if it was either Milwaukee or Boston in the finals. Don't worry, Indiana took both of them out on the way there. But still, LeBron winning the in-season MVP, the Lakers winning it, first year, It was a seismic boom for the NBA. Let's hope they do not. They may tweak it, but don't change this tournament. It was absolutely fantastic.
I actually think the Pacers getting all the way there, maybe the Bucks playing them would have been better, but that would have been isolated, better Saturday ratings. They may, Halliburton is a far more bigger superstar with the with this run that they went on, which is definitely good for the league. You want more guys, and they got another guy in Halliburton now. And Halliburton tonight, along with three other of the Vegas teams, are playing. The Lakers will play their first game tomorrow. And you're going to back the Indiana Pacers here, JY, against Detroit. Any worry about a Vegas hangover for Indiana?
I was thinking about a Vegas hangover until I realized that Jalen Duren wasn't going to play. And we just have a team in Detroit that's just, they're just a mess. They're a mess. And you just start lining up the metrics, right? The number one team offensively, this is all in synergy, folks. Number one team offensively versus 24th defensively. Number eight in shooting the ball out to 17 feet versus 26. Ninth in mid-range versus 30th defensively. All the metrics line up to Indiana, who could score in bunches. And the fact that Kevin, I know this sounds crazy, I saw a little bit of a commitment to defense by Indiana these last two games. Maybe the game slowed down a little bit. I think Detroit's a mess. Indiana should want to continue this success because I think people are waiting for them to fall off the cliff after last Saturday night. Give me the Pacers, -7.5.
And look, I mean, if there's any team you'd want to play, right, you would think. You would think it would be Detroit because you can kind of half-ass it and beat them up. But also, if they show up like that, maybe Detroit gets a victory here. I'm playing the over, JY, in this game. Every road Pacers game's gone over the listed total. Their defense never shows up on the road. I mean, they gave up like 135 points a game on the road here. So I'm going to play the over. Talk to me. Heat Hornets tonight. Some trends starting to develop for Charlotte in the non-LaMelo Ball run that they're going through here. But it was hard to try and take advantage with Bam Adebayo being out. Miami still laying a number on the road here. You backing Jimmy and the boys?
I am. And there's a Kevin, there's a ton of injuries in this game, right? So I start going to, all right, where's the advantage? Well, which team likely without their star players, remember Hero's out too, will play better? It's Miami. Who's the better coach? Spo, not even close. Miami's got to start playing better. And one team shoots it great from three, and the other team is terrible at defending the three. Give me the Miami Heat -4 points on the road at Charlotte.
Listen, again, it is a spot definitely where Miami feels like they should take advantage, right? Charlotte is vulnerable here, but the Heat still, I haven't seen full killer instinct from this group. They are 12-10 on the year, which is nice. Talk to me, the Rockets, again, starting to play some better basketball here. They picked up a road victory the other day. They've been brilliant at home. We know that, JY, 9-1, going up against Wemby and the boys. What do you see here, Rockets Spurs?
Fab Five. Freddie Van Vliet, over 17.5, 18.5, shop around, get yourself the best number. At 17.5, hit over two of the last three games, 24 earlier this year versus San Antonio, and here's where you start getting down to it. This guy is one of the best pick-and-roll ball handlers in scoring in the NBA. He's in the 93rd percentile. San Antonio is 23rd in defending it. The way he shoots the ball, San Antonio is 23rd in defending jump shots and 29th against defending the three. It lines up for Fred VanVleet. VanVleet over 17.5 points tonight.
All right, FVV. Listen, man, Dylan Brooks has found a way again to get himself viral on a regular basis with his stare down now before games, which is a ton of fun. Let me jump to Jazz Thunder here. OKC laying a ton, 12.5 to Utah. Jazz, sneaky, like bottom five team, maybe not even sneaky. They are very, very bad here. JY, what are you looking for in this game?
I was just trying to Dylan Brooks stare at it. It didn't go too well.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what you were doing there. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I'm impressed with myself. Cat, double-double, plus 155, over three of his last five games. When you look at this game, Cat's got to be able to attack the boards. You figure Gobert, Valanciunas cancel each other out. Cat has been playing some of his better basketball, and I think, Kevin, they finally have figured out a way for Cat and obviously Gobert to play together. I like him to get a double-double, especially at that plus 155, because I figure the other two guys, it's minus money. Find yourself a little bit of value with Cat at 155.
All right. Hold on a minute. See, you just threw me off there. I wanted the Jazz breakdown. Oh, did you do the Keontae George?
I
jumped over the Cat thing because I want to get into the Zion stuff with you.
Okay.
Bigger picture, because you know what I mean? Just... So, all right, that's the Cat breakdown. We'll circle back. Talk to me quickly on Keontae George against OKC tonight.
Well, this is a case of Keontae George at 13.5 points. I like the fact that there's going to be pace in this game because Oklahoma City, he's getting the minutes, Caleb. And you know, and I know, I was a big fan of Keontae George coming out of Baylor. I think this is a game in which if it's going to get up and down the floor, well, who's the most up and down guard on the floor? I don't trust Clarkson because he can be so hot, but he can also be terrible. 13.5 is a good number. When he gets the minutes, he gets there. Keontae George over 13.5 points tonight.
All right, makes a lot of sense. So here's the deal with New Orleans and Minnesota. Zion over 21.5 on Thursday was my best bet against the Lakers. If you would have told me that Zion would have shot 75% from the field in that game, I would have said, hey, when did they pay me? Third quarter? First half? Instead, Zion only shot the ball 8 times. 26 minutes. Everybody associated with the Pelicans organization should be absolutely embarrassed for what they did Thursday night in Vegas. And by the way, if there was one team that went to that Final Four that you were going to be worried about no showing the semifinal, it was New Orleans. It's Brandon Ingram and Zion not being able to handle and lay overnight in Las Vegas. It is completely unsurprising that they played like absolute trash in that game while LeBron is spitting threes from the logo. Totally unsurprising. With that said, the reason Zion was my best bet in that game, partly to do with the Lakers' interior defense at times being a little bit vulnerable, it is a bounce-back spot. You know this, JY, from every BATR we've done to now game-time decisions. I believe in bounce-back spots, and Zion was due for one against the Lakers. And then he did that. He is now in the biggest bounce-back spot of the entire NBA season because now he's played two games where he's basically no-shown them, and he was so bad on Thursday that they're still talking about his ass on Monday about how embarrassing everything was. If Zion doesn't show up for this game, my advice to New Orleans is put him on the trade block tomorrow morning. It is a now-or-never single game tonight for Zion Williamson.
It's amazing how, Kevin, you know, I was talking about this before to a friend of mine. When you got guys in the NBA or in college, they lose weight during the season, right? Because they're playing so much. This is the only cat I know that gets fatter as the season. And listen, I don't want to get into the weight thing too much, but his interest level, it was shocking. It was disappointing. And it shows a complete disrespect to the game of basketball that he did that on national TV and then talked and basically said it after the game. That's the part that I don't like, is you not only did you do it, you kind of played off. Like, what happened, man? You went to the Rhino and you dropped a couple of bucks. You were there a little too long. Hit that buffet over at the Bellagio. By the way, the Bellagio has a very, very nice buffet, I might say. Coach Young has hit that a couple of times. But that's not the point. You had a job to do. And this is why, folks, you can't take New Orleans seriously. Because they have all the talent in the world. And they've shown it on occasion. But they can't put it together. Kevin, you're absolutely right. At some point, Brandon Ingram or Zion must get traded. I've always thought it was going to be B.I., but the way Zion has behaved the last two games, you're right. If Zion does not get at least 20 to 25 points tonight, there's a problem. And if he doesn't get it, you're right. His ass should be on the chopping block immediately.
And I'll also say the thing with Zion, and it is almost funny though, J.Y., You know who should also make sure that Zion has a great night tonight? His teammates. Sean McDermott got himself in a ton of hot water heading into their game against Kansas City, and I thought that he'd lost that locker room. They showed the post-game celebratory clip. They're screaming, "We got your back, coach," right? They stepped up for Sean McDermott. Zion Williamson, once again, is being dragged through the mud. If C.J. McCollum and Jonas Valanciunas and B.I. don't step up and have this guy's back here tonight, it is a lost cause. And this is a conversation that we have been having around Zion for far, far too long. I'll tell you, I played his 20 and a half. I played him for 25 plus. I played him for 30 plus. Now or never situation tonight for the big man. JY, great stuff. As always, we'll talk more this week right here. It's Game Time Decisions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here. We're live on SportsGrid. We're closing out Game Time Decisions because caught up next, it's Pro Football Today. Myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Joe Lisi live and in person breaking down a Monday night doubleheader. Dolphins, Titans, Packers, Giants. We have plenty of props to go through if you missed it. We put some Tyreek Hill MVP in the pocket before tonight's game. I'll talk to both of them about that position and the MVP race, and including some of the fallout of the Sunday slate, which definitely impacted the MVP market and a ton of others. In the meantime, though, let's get you on this NBA slate. Favorite bet tonight, it's Nikola Jokic triple-double here in their game against the Atlanta Hawks. Denver needs one here. They've been playing some sloppy hoop, and that means Jokic is due to answer the bell on the road. This plus 110 is dropping down to plus 105, plus 100. It's all good. The key is the assist prop. If you look so far, only twice this year does he not have double-digit rebounds. He's yet to have a game without double-digit points. So you're really keying in on the assists, and that number is minus 135, minus 130. Right now, you know you're getting value by playing the triple-double. The other aspect of it is Jokic is coming off of a game with five assists. That's only happened four times this year where Nikola Jokic has not provided at least six assists. He's bounced back each and every time except for one with a triple-double. And the one time he didn't, he landed on nine assists. Plus, playing against Atlanta tonight, a very soft and vulnerable defense here, I expect Jokic to respond and fill up the stat sheet on the road. The other NBA looks coming up here, I believe 7 o'clock, is going to be Pacers Pistons. We're playing over 247. Indiana on the road, give up a zillion points per game. Detroit atrocious. I expect this Pacers team to fly here coming out of Vegas, still with plenty of pace. Then we're trusting Zion Williamson one final time, over 20 and a half points. Took some alts as well, 25 plus and 30 plus. There's also some alts out there on Monday Night Football. I can only imagine what the fellas have cooking. We'll figure that out. We start 7 p.m. sharp, less than a minute, live right here on SportsGrid. Good luck tonight.